Crybaby.
That's what I was gonna say. Crybaby is probably most people's.
But
I don't know. Oh, Sweeney Todd. Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, he was attractive in that one, but a pirate? Oh, I'd be a wench.
Slap him every time he comes to land.
Oh yeah.
And we are recording. As you can tell, we're wearing the same clothes as last week. We're just dirty people. Just kidding. We record two episodes back to back, so get over it. And it's not like we upload the full video to YouTube, so just clips. So
we haven't even slept.
No sleep. This is episode 29 of Anime Autopsy, still on Jujutsu Kaisen, season 1. This will be our part 4. I am the Romeo Stone, and this is Peachly. Say hi.
Hi.
And part 4 is going to touch on episodes 16 through 20, and I've got to say, these episodes were great.
Especially 20.
Especially 20. So cool. But housekeeping notes, subscribe to the YouTube, cannot stress that enough. We're trying to beef up those numbers, but that is our hub for all of our video stuff. We're doing all of our live streaming of our recording sessions there, along with all of our videos, our shorts, and all that stuff. Like, comment, subscribe. We actually might start streaming some video game type stuff. I was thinking maybe the Fall Guys stuff that I was trying to get you into. But we'll see. We'll kind of see. YouTube's a little sensitive on a few things. So, like, we couldn't probably get away with, say, like, live watching something that's copyrighted or something like that. But we'll have to maybe do a Discord type of thing for that later down the road. But, yeah. So, like, comment, subscribe, click that bell, and view our live streams whenever we're on, and interact with us. For all updates, you're going to want to follow either me on Twitter or jump into our Facebook group and be a part of that. Anytime I make an update post, it goes to both of those platforms. I feel like that kind of covers all the bases there for most people. Like, I use Twitter a bit more often, but like, say, like you very much would probably prefer Facebook,
yeah,
right?
I don't get Twitter. It's weird.
It is weird. But take a second to leave a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and or Google Podcasts. Leave us a review, subscribe to us, follow us, do all that stuff that's free. And it really helps us pump up in the ratings as far as like anime podcasts go. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Anime Autopsy. And if you want to leave us a voicemail or email, all that stuff is in the bio below. And follow me on Twitch. twitch.tv/TheRomeoStone. And as always, our logo is made by Blue Room Media. If you have any arts inquiries, reach out to them, ask for Brandon, tell them that we sent you. So as a part of this vibe check, how excited on a scale of 1 to hell yeah are you excited about going out tonight?
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah.
Hit you with a little Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a minute. I gotta dust off these old bones.
You gotta stretch up before we go out tonight. That way we don't get cramps. So, let's just go ahead and jump into it. Episode 16, Kyoto Sister School Exchange Event Group Battle 2. And we made the joke about last week about this seeming like an Attack on Titan title. It definitely is. Toto and Yuji continue to battle it out, with the former determined to strengthen his new best friend. Meanwhile, Panda discovers Ultimate Mechamaru's secret while showing a more powerful side of him during their battle. Man, I practiced that name too. It still
reminds me of Orochimaru.
Mechamaru. Mechamaru. That's what it is.
Orochimaru.
Okay. So, did you ever play Tekken, the fighting game?
No.
So there is a character in that game that reminds me of Mechamaru so much. Hold on.
If it wasn't The Legend of Zelda, Sonic, Mario, or Animal Crossing, or Halo, I haven't played it. The only fighting games I played was like Soul Calibur and Super Smash Brothers. And only the Soul Calibur that had Link in it. Because, I mean, come on.
Here's like an OG version of him. So this is like one of the more original styles. And like this right there totally reminds me of Mechamaru-esque. But yeah. So yeah, Yuji receives lessons from Todo about using cursed energy while the two fight each other. It's kind of like a brotherly kind of interaction between them two, which I guess totally makes sense as to why they start calling each other brother. But Nobara is knocked out by non-lethal sniper shots from Mechamaru. I feel like I'm saying it weird. Am I saying it weird?
I don't know. Let's just continue.
So we get into some Panda stuff, which I thought was super cool. Panda begins fighting him, and his past and technique is revealed. Panda actually contains three personalities within him that he can switch between. He basically, whenever one's weakened, he can switch to another one. And it makes him, it can make him more powerful. It can make him more personable. Like is the one he like kind of like walks around in is kind of like super cheery, super nice. And then his older brother, is that what it is?
So he has an older brother and older sister. And the first one that gets attacked essentially where he's kind of chill is he said his shy older sister, persona. And then there's his persona and then his older brother's persona.
And his older brother is a gorilla. So whenever he transforms into him, he kind of has this, like, he has purple eyes, kind of this like more rigid defined face, and then gorilla hands
and legs.
Yeah.
And walks around like a gorilla. Never in my life did I think I would see a gorilla or ganda.
Kind of want a tattoo of it.
Not me. I'll pass.
But yeah.
Those two animals just don't mix. They're so random.
And to add to that, do you remember who created him?
The principal of their school who makes the cursed dolls.
Yeah, so he...
And he trained him.
He's a cursed doll, but like a high-level one.
It's like a puppet.
And then, like, it shows, like, a scene of them two whenever he was, like, a baby panda. And he's like, I know this won't make sense to you right now, but I wanted you to know that you have an older brother and a younger sister, and they live inside
of
you.
No, I don't.
And he's like, no, I don't. I don't know if you noticed, but he's got, like, during the fight, his ear's damaged, and instead of there being, like, blood or something coming out, it's stuffing. I thought that was kind of cool.
I didn't see that, yeah.
So Mechamaru reveals he is a young sorcerer controlling the robots from within. His true body is extremely ill and unable to function. In exchange, however, he is able to use cursed energy through mechanical puppets. So if I'm not mistaken, he's only got one arm also. Nothing below the knees.
Yep.
He can't feel any sensation from the waist down. And... that one arm isn't there
is very fragile, and it feels like needles are poking every pore of his body.
And he said even moonlight would give him a certain
burn. Even moonlight would burn his flesh.
And like whenever it does show him and his body, it shows he's like hooked up to a bunch of different IVs, and he's like in a bathtub.
He's a bubble boy.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, Panda's gorilla personality emerges victorious in their battle. And it was super sweet because even at the end, the panda was like, if you wanted to be something else, I would help you, you know?
Yeah, that was really sweet.
Because the Mechamaru's, he tries to be like super cold and calculated. And like, he's just operating from a space where he's in a really bad situation.
He wants to be able to join his team with his physical body in whole. It's sad.
Do you want to explain that scene where he's like, where he's thinking about that, and it shows him like walking out of the bathtub, like on his...
I can't explain it.
Well, it shows like in that scene that we were just previously talking about where he's in that bathtub and hooked up, but it shows him and just his normal body. But he's got no bandages, and he's got all of his limbs, and like he just, the thing he wants the most is to be united with his team physically and not just through the robot suit. Super sad. And it makes you like the character. They're at it again. They're like a serial killer, but with like making you love their characters instead. They're a serial writer lover. But, episode 17.
Jeffrey Dahmer, the people Dahmer.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Episode 17, Kyoto Sister School Exchange Event, Group Battle 3. Miwa and Maki engage in a battle of strength while Nishimiya tackles Nabara. The battle is interrupted by why do I always get these? And the twins battle it out, revealing secrets about their clan.
That one was a doozy. So Kasumi is beaten by Maki after underestimating her lack of cursed energy. So here, these are the sisters, am I right?
I guess. Fighting?
Oh, wait, no. Kasumi is the blonde-haired with the sword. Hold on, before we look like dummies.
The sisters aren't fighting. The blue-haired chick's fighting somebody. The blonde-haired chick that flies around on the broom was with Panda and... the other girl.
Kasumi is beaten by Maki, so they're kind of battling around. They kind of end up in like a creek, but so Kasumi is teammates with Maki's sister, Mai, and Mai told her that she's nothing to be afraid of. You can steamroll her. She's not strong or whatever. Totally playing her down.
Rude.
Yeah. She hates her sister, and we'll come to find out why in a couple episodes. But you know, she underestimated her because of that, and she just wipes the floor with her at one point, stealing her sword and just like dipping or whatever. But yeah, Nabara fights Momo, but just as she's about to win, she is knocked out by a round from Maya's revolver. That scene was pretty cool, I thought, where she's kind of like bouncing around, throwing her nails, and it looks like she's trying to shoot her nails at her, and then instead, like, they're hitting these trees, but you're not really paying attention to that. You're like, oh, she's missing, and then you come to find out that she's not missing at all. She's creating a trap, so whenever What's-Her-Face is getting the best of her, or whatever, or so she thinks, she activates those nails, and then explosions, you know, knock her out of the sky. It's pretty sweet. So Maki faces off with her sister as a flashback reveals the suffering that the twins went through in the Zenin clan. So I guess it's not a couple episodes, it's this one. Maki left the clan with a goal to become a stronger sorcerer and rule the clan one day. So she's going off on her own. They treat her like trash. Technically, she's higher up material or whatever in this
material
village.
Girl.
But since she doesn't have cursed powers or whatever it is, they look down on her. So she's basically like, I've got something to prove. I'm out of here. But her sister, this devastates her little sister. And it shows that she's a scaredy cat. Like, in present day, she's a cold-hearted person.
I think it's because, you know, growing up, she could see the curses and her sister couldn't.
Just imagine if you have a sibling... and one of you can see demons at night and the other one can't. Like, that would be terrifying.
I grew up with a brother who had an alien as a best friend. Yeah.
Your brother just liked to torment you. I'm almost certain of it. So, Maki left the clan with a goal to become a stronger sorcerer and rule the clan one day. So, Mai stayed and was forced to become the sorcerer against her will. In Maki's place, and this is strongly the reason that she resents her sister for leaving her, because not only was she scared, but she was forced to do all the things that her older sister was supposed to do. So as Mai tries to use her technique, creating a bullet out of cursed energy, Maki catches it with her bare hand, revealing that as a trade-off for having no cursed energy, she has been blessed with superhuman strength. So we're starting to see like there's like a give and take. So like if a character has a weakness, they've almost definitely got something that outweighs that weakness with something that they're good at. So like her, she's got no cursed energy, but she's extremely strong and superhuman. Whenever, like, she caught that bullet with her bare hands, like, it hurt, obviously, probably, but so I think she makes a comment like, ow, probably shouldn't have caught that, but I did.
I don't remember that. I must have missed that.
So having lost their battles, Mine and Nobara are eliminated from the events, and that ends that episode. We're going to jump into episode 18. Episode 18, Sage, Megumi, and Noritashi confront their similarities and differences through battle. However, the goodwill event is suspended or suddenly upheaved by a sudden invasion. So we're going back to that meeting that the bad guys had where they're talking about how they were going to basically infiltrate the school and get them fingers. So Kasumi is eliminated after, is it Toge or Toge?
I don't know.
T-O-G-E. Calls her, hey, email us if you've got that right pronunciation. Email in the bio below. Calls her, for the sake of this episode, it's Toge, as far as I'm concerned, this episode. So Kasumi is eliminated after Toge calls her and commands her to sleep over the phone. I think it is Toge, actually. It's the guy who can't speak.
Yeah, I love his power.
It is cool. I love that he's got tattoos over his face and shit. It's really cool.
It's like little speakers next to his mouth.
Yeah. He reminds me of that super lame character in My Hero Academia.
The Jean guy?
The Jean guy.
The Jean's over, yeah.
That character's so...
I knew exactly who you were talking about.
Like, the character is fine or whatever, but, like, I don't know. He looks silly. So, Toge is disturbed by an ominous special-grade cursed spirit whose appearance immediately ends because... It immediately ends the exchange event, but what's cool is that there's a flashback of Grandpa, Principal Grandpa, where he's explaining to whoever it was that instead of putting this low-grade curse into the arena, he's putting this Big Daddy curse in there. So we see this thing creepily come around the corner and look at Toge, and then it looks like it jumps and then falls and plays dead like a possum. And then we see what killed it. And it's, what is that thing called? Oh, gosh. What is that character called? The bad guy?
Hanami.
Hanami. That's right. Which I was a little taken off guard that it's a girl. Were you?
I don't think it's a girl. I think that's just the voice.
You think so?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It doesn't look like a girl. I think maybe the voice comes across to seem less threatening.
Maybe. Well, it's got a special way of talking, right?
Yeah.
It's very strange. But Megumi and Noritashi are battling when they see Toge fleeing. He commands them to run, but the special grade blocks them from exit. The cursed energy users behind the invasion of the special grade place, a large barrier over the area. So it's not a domain, per se, but it's more like a force field. And we'll come to find out that the barrier only blocks Gojo from the students. So anybody can come and go, except for Gojo. So they're purposely trying to alienate him out because, you know, well, we'll find out, but it's because he's just so, so powerful. But everyone else can enter and leave. Toge, Megumi, and Noritashi find themselves facing the special grade. And that's where episode 18 ends. Let's go ahead and jump in.
Episode 19, Black Flash. Sounds like Yuji says it, Black Flash.
Woo!
The special grade spirit Hanami has invaded the Goodwill event. Can the students survive the onslaught and escape the curtain with their lives? They went to Goodwill.
See, I was going to make a joke. Like, we have a handful of viewers outside of the United States that probably have no idea what Goodwill is, but you Google it.
It's a thrift store.
But it's a thrift store. So every time I heard Goodwill, it did throw me off. I'm like...
But they're outside. Where's the Goodwill truck with the random mattresses next to it? Because you're not supposed to leave those.
If you're not familiar with Goodwill, or if you just didn't know this, but they have little stations that you can donate to. That's not the store. It's like these little 18-wheelers. So you can place like your unwanted clothes, dishes, or mattresses, just whatever you're trying to donate to them. And then they come around, they load it up into the 18-wheeler trailer, and they drive it off and replace it with an empty one. But every, like, specifically the one in Cleveland, there's one close to like APD 40 or something like that. They've got a station like that. And depending on how late at night it is, you can almost always find someone trying to steal from that bin. And they usually look like they're kind of on some substances.
I mean, maybe it's just rock. Left there, though. You know, it's not like it's guarded or anything.
No, it's not guarded. You're not supposed to. And it's posted, yeah. I think, now that you're not supposed to. But, like, you'll see, like, a family, like, go into that Little Caesars, pick up their pizzas, get it loaded back up, and then they'll walk over to the Goodwill trailer and just kind of pick through some stuff and then take it. It's like everyone does it. Yeah. I never did it. Anyways, Hanami, the special grade cursed spirit, shrugs off attacks from Togi, Megumi, Noritashi, and Maki. Just as she's about to strangle Maki to death, Yuji and Todo jump in to fight Hanami while Panda and Momo escort their wounded friends to safety.
It is a girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was. This starts off one of the coolest fights we've seen so far. So Todo, Yuji versus Hanami.
Yeah. Black Flash.
Brother.
Black Flash.
There's one scene, I think it's in episode 20, but it's not like paramount to the story. But they're falling from the sky, and she shoots something mm-hmm. towards them. And they look at each other and go, brother! And then they use their feet and push off of each other to dodge it. So cool. So Yuji then reveals the Black Flash technique he learned from Todo as Hanami unleashes her second arm to fight them both. If I'm not mistaken, there was a flashback whenever Yuji's talking to Nanami. Yeah. So there's a flashback where he's talking to Nanami, and he explains that he was able to do the Black Flash, but he's only been able to do it back-to-back, I think, 3 times or 4 times, and he wasn't able to, you know, do it any more than that, and it was kind of a fluke that he did it that time. And then we see Yuji doing the Black Flash multiple times in this fight. So it's just kind of crazy to see the potential that he has in his powers. And he's kind of a dummy. Like, he's totally a Goku character.
I love how he says it every time he does it. Black Flash.
It reminds me, did you watch King of the Hill? There's this one character. He's kind of a doofus character. I think his name's Earl or something. But he walks around with sand in his pocket. Yeah. Pocket sand. And then he, like, runs out of whatever situation he's in.
I've seen memes. And I love how every flashback that Todo has, it's like him and Yuji have been friends for years, hanging out and shit. And I'm like, y'all just met.
Yeah, he's totally making up fiction in his head where, like, they're schoolmates. They went to school together.
It's adorable.
Oh, it's...
That's his best friend.
I don't know if there is, but I need a Todo statue.
I'm sure
we
can find one. Or maybe we can get in contact with somebody on Etsy who can make you one.
Something. And I would prefer it with shirt off, you know, because he's ripped. But yeah.
You should cosplay him.
I'd have to get a wig. But it could happen. It would either be him, or it would be the leader of the Black Bulls, Yami.
Yami? Oh my god. Yes.
But I would have to walk around with a cigarette in my mouth, and I'd be tempted to smoke it, you know.
We're not going to light it. We'll just get you some candy cigarettes.
There we go. It kind of looks like a candy cigarette in the show anyways.
Yeah, there we go.
Episode 20, Non-Standard. Yuji and Todo continue their battle with a special grade curse. Gojo finds a way to enter the battle.
Yeah.
If there is a overpowered OP character in the show, it's Gojo for sure.
It's like when I used to role play and people would role play fights and they're like, you can't do God mode. Gojo is God mode.
And a lot of his style stuff is purple, right? And then we kind of figure out why it is in this episode, too. But that's towards the end.
He's so badass.
It didn't explain it anything, but like we see him like putting the power together at the end of the episode. And it's like, oh,
his eyes.
That's why stuff is purple.
Okay, sorry.
Chodo reveals his own secret technique, Boogie Woogie, the ability to swap any two people or objects with cursed energy. I love that. Boogie Woogie is his technique.
When he
name.
Said that, the first thing that popped in my mind was Boogie Woogie Woogie.
Oh, yeah. What is that from?
I don't know. Help
that
me.
That was like a video meme or
boogie,
something.
Boogie Woogie Woogie.
Oh, my God. What was that?
Yeah,
I know.
Just...
That's something. But yeah, he'll clap his hands and then like he'll switch spaces with something or somebody.
That's pretty cool power to have, honestly.
He's kind of OP in his own right and like he's just low key about it. But Toto uses it in tandem with Yuji's Black Flash to beat up Hanami. So like he'll do the boogie woogie. Like so like he'll be trying to
boogie, woogie.
Hanami will be trying to attack one of them. He'll clap, switch spaces, and then, like, that leaves an opening for the Black Flash. So, like, they work together so well that mm-hmm. you would think that they were friends for, you know.
Like, go to the same school and shit.
Yeah. Hanami prepares to unleash her own domain expansion when Gojo dispels the veil over the battlefield. So, just in time, too. Because they could have been, like, really in, like, some hot water with that one. So, after... shredding the limbs of Juzo, which is a new guy they introduced that I don't remember seeing beforehand.
Yeah.
But he's kind of like a blacksmith, but like with, like he's like threatening to make people into things. Like the grandpa, he wanted to turn him into
yeah,
a wallet or something.
Yeah, that's the one grandpa wanted to fight, and he pulled out a freaking guitar.
Yeah, go ahead and explain that. I know you like that.
It threw me off because he wears
yeah,
a robe and he's got like the piercings and stuff. So I'm like, oh, he's just an old monk with some ear and facial piercings. And then he's like, he's talking to whatever her name is. He's like, you go on ahead and I'll handle this. And it just rips off his robe and he's got on like a band tee and a guitar. And I'm like, what the?
That was one character specifically. I was like, oh, I do not like him
yeah.
at all. He's up to no good. He's trying to kill Yuji.
And now look.
No way. And then he rips off that robe and starts shredding. I was like, don't do this to me. Don't make me like him. And then I like him now, kind of.
I still don't.
I think he's going to be kind of like the imminent turd of the show. But, stick in the mud character, but like he definitely won some points with me whenever he started shredding. Was like,
I was taken back. I was like, what? It makes sense now. Yeah.
But yeah, we're introduced to a new bad guy. We'll be introduced to another one at the end of this episode. Don't know if I even wrote his name down though. Because I don't think he even said his name. Who knows? But Gojo unleashes a giant purple wave of cursed energy at a retreating Hanami, destroying half of the forest. And leaving Yuji and Toto amazed at his power. So basically, I can't remember the words exactly. So he uses an orb of blue, and that's to beef his power up. And then like an orb of red to do something else. And then he combines them together. And then, of course, we all know red and blue make purple together. And then shoots that purple orb in there at the bad guys. So cool.
It was so badass.
That whole scene, that whole setup, and I love how Toto, like, okay, so Yuji's about to attack again, and then Toto goes, no, stop. Don't go any further unless you want to be swept up by this too. And he's like, what? But he senses that Gojo is about to shoot that orb down there. But elsewhere, Mahito has one of Sukuna's fingers. The school invasion was a distraction, so they could steal it. We already knew that. But while all of this chaos was going, like, I did kind of forget that their whole plan was to get that finger.
Yeah.
So, like, I was just thinking they were going to use those characters to go in and try to steamroll the students and then go get the finger. But the whole time, it was Mahito, you know, kind of sneaking in and grabbing that finger. And that's where it kind of cliffhangs out there. We don't really know anything after that. So... maybe he gets away with it, maybe he doesn't. But, I mean, the goal is to feed that finger to Yuji anyway. So it's kind of a weird plan, I think. Because they all want the fingers to go to the same place.
Yeah.
But it's like, and I think even Joko even says it, like, why would we do that? They already want him to eat those fingers.
Yeah.
So I think there's an ulterior motive. Could be wrong. And obviously, like I said before, we've not watched anything past this so far. So, like, whenever we speculate, it's genuine speculation. We don't know what's happening next because these are the first times we've watched this show. But yeah, that's the end of the episode. Let's go ahead and get in these housekeeping notes because we got to get out of here and go on a date night. Subscribe to the YouTube. It's very important. That's a big one. All of our stuff is going there, all of our videos. So like, comment, subscribe whenever we put up stuff. Click that bell after subscribing. That'll notify you when we do go live. If you're not up to date on like what day we're going live, it'll send an alert to your phone. For all updates, speaking of, you can follow me on Twitter or you can join our Facebook group or both, whichever platform that you prefer. But whenever I do make a update, I do put it on both of those places. Links below. Take a second to leave a 5-star review on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and I think those are the three main ones. Leave us a review, follow us, download the episodes, do all the free stuff for us because it just pushes us up in rankings. And there's some other anime podcasts out there. Pretty good. But I think we're pretty good too. So that'll, work the algorithm into suggesting this also. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Anime Autopsy and leave us a voicemail or an email if you have any questions, suggestions, and whatnot. And follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/TheRomeoStone. And as always, our logo is made by Blue Room Media. Ask for Brandon, tell him we sent you for all arts inquiries there. And that's going to close it out this week. We will see you next week. And like I said, as long as you've got that bell on YouTube clicked, you'll be notified when we go live again to do any more recording sessions. And perhaps we'll be doing other live stream type of stuff too. Maybe some video game stuff. Who knows? But we'll see you next week.